development of a cybersecurity institute and technology incubator at Fort Hays State University is underway. Chief Communications Officer Scott Kaysen and Informatics Department Chair Melissa Hunsicker-Walburn stop by to share the details on this episode of the Post Podcast. We're going to talk a little bit today about the Cybersecurity Institute and Technology Incubator, and I'm very excited to learn about this. But first, before we get there, Scott, you got to tell us, how did the media tour go?
I'm glad I get to talk about that instead of the incubator, because my learning curve is steep on that one still. No, we kicked off a preview of the media tour with you, James, on September 20th here in the studio. President Mason and I went on the road last week, Monday through Friday. We covered about 1,800 miles. Across Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Nebraska, made 22 stops. She did two radio interviews here in Salina, TV interview in Wichita, TV interview in Topeka. We met with specialty publications in Kansas City area. But we covered 22 stops, as I said, including two joint events with our community college partners in Pratt and in Garden City. And then we hosted a lunch with the media in Dodge City that featured some of our Bachelor of Social Work graduates who were working in Southwest Kansas. So it's a tremendous tour. Great for us to get out and do that, connect with folks in those areas. But also what we found on the tour this time too was it was fun to connect with local businesses. And some of our social media, if you look at it, we promoted the fact that we were at a place like the Red Beard Cafe in Dodge City for a couple of meetings and things like that. So each year we do more with the tour. We expand more stops to media to include visits with political leadership. And then again, we did some joint events with our community college partners this time.
Love it. Spreading the good word of Fort Hays State University.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Well, we got to talk about this Cybersecurity Institute and Technology Incubator. First off, maybe we want to talk about just what is this thing? What's the idea behind it?
Absolutely. Thanks, James. So this entire initiative is really aligned with the Fort Hays State spirit of we see a problem, how can we contribute to solving it? And so our first round of proposal and conception of this idea came from how can we make cybersecurity relevant and impactful for the Kansas economy? How can we do something that aligns with the Kansas Board of Regents interest and initiative that also aligns with what the Kansas legislature would like to see in terms of economic prosperity? And so we recognize that small business is often underserved or less than ideally attentive to its cybersecurity posture. And sometimes we know that is because maybe there's a little bit of, well, that'll never happen to me. Ransomware or cybersecurity attacks, that's just, why would they want to mess with my grocery store or my jewelry store? That's something that would happen to a big corporation. Well, that's actually not true. There's a lot of cybersecurity attacks and ransomware kinds of activities that are geared towards small and medium-sized businesses because it's well understood that those kinds of ventures do not have the security posture or the dedicated staff, perhaps, or the appreciation for what their vulnerabilities really are. And so recognizing that, there's a lot of small and medium-sized businesses in Kansas, and if it is also true in Kansas that those businesses have, for whatever reason, tended not to really give priority to their cybersecurity posture, how can we in our cybersecurity program and our cybersecurity strengths at Fort Hays State contribute to making that an improved situation? And so here's what the Cybersecurity Institute and Technology Incubator does. It's a two-track kind of venture. The one track would be matching our students with small businesses to help advance small business security postures. So one of the things that we would be doing is developing a micro-internship program. So that in a micro internship, in case that's not something that people are particularly familiar with, is not a time bound kind of internship, right? Like we're used to, I'm interning in the summer in Kansas City, or I'm going to be interning in the fall. This is project oriented and project scoped, And so a student would go and do a vulnerability study, and maybe that's a 2-week project, and they might not even need to be on site more than 2 days to do that. But it's all project based, and the scope is defined by that project and not time. So a student can be dispatched to go do a micro internship, help a business with a problem, or help a business become aware of some of their problems. The student gets experience. They get real world experience. They also get the soft skills of interacting with a small business and learning more about what that environment looks like in real time. And then, of course, the small business comes out improved and hopefully more secure and a viable part of the Kansas economy as a result. So that's the student piece, the experiential learning, how that ties to what we're all about in informatics, which is hands-on. And then all of that coordination would happen under our lead faculty, Jason Zeller. Jason is supremely the person to be doing that business and student match, because he is the one who has mapped the internships to the curriculum to know that a student doing this type of work for business needs to have had these kinds of things, and he will have then vetted them for their skill. Hmm. And so there's that additional quality assurance that comes from Jason's involvement in what we're doing, and that's the student side. Our second phase of this, which on our implementation timeline wouldn't really kick off until this next summer, but it is the actual incubator. And what we plan to do on that is run it like a tech incubator. So if somebody out there has the tech acumen and a great idea, but they don't know how to do a business plan, or they don't really know how to seek capital, or they don't know how to protect their intellectual property that they have in their idea itself, they would apply to be a business or a venture in residence. We would draw from faculty, maybe community expertise, but we would put the right people on their incubation team. And then over the course of 4 months or 6 months or whatever that venture needs, we would help develop that so that it is viable as it emerges from the incubator process. And so on that side of the city project, we really actually hope to have new venture creation and job growth and job creation in this area of tech and cybersecurity. So,
yeah, you know, it's one of those situations. And we spoke with Treetop Security owner, yeah, Dallas Hazelhorst on the show here just a couple weeks ago, just as Cybersecurity Month was kicking off. It's one of those things that it's a huge area of concern, and everybody needs to be paying attention and taking it a little bit more seriously. But also, kind of what you're alluding to, it sounds like to me, is it's also a huge area of opportunity, especially for Fort Hays, and bringing in those students and those businesses and connecting. And that's so cool that we're going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. And again, I think it's absolutely reflective of just the Fort Hays way, the Department of Informatics way. You know, we see a problem, and perhaps it's not, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for a lot of areas to be helpful, but with business. But City will work closely with the Small Business Development Center. They are out there. They are in small business. They are trying to help small business with all kinds of business strategy, marketing, those kinds of things. We worked with them, for example, to create a screening tool that they deploy with small businesses to help a small business self-assess their posture. But then what do you do? So if there's a problem identified, then what? And so we become the then what for them. We know that we will work closely to get a lot of our referral business through the outreach that they're already doing through their regional networks. And so it's synergistic. It's filled with opportunity, but you know, the fact that SBDC, the Small Business Development Center, is also homed at Fort Hays State, just makes all of this really extremely workable for what we already do here. It really is building on some great things that we already do, taking things to the next level.
Yeah, I love that. And again, I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about the timing of this thing. We're in Cybersecurity Month, so I love talking about this right now. But again, you know, it seems like there's the opportunity out there, but the threats are becoming more real, more insidious, and they're everywhere, as you already kind of mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we do. You know, a lot of times people have the perception that if you're talking about cybersecurity or hacking or those kinds of things, it's some nefarious technology that you might not even be powerful to defend against.
Guy, black hat, just right? Clicking away like you see in the movies, right?
And certainly that can be the case. But a lot of things, you know, we hear ransomware all the time. And a lot of ransomware is deployed best through nefarious methods of just tricking people, trickery. We call it social engineering, but it is low tech, and it is exploiting sometimes fear. Sometimes it's a contrived sense of urgency, like I need Joe's date of birth. Joe's the CEO. I need Joe's date of birth. He's locked out of this. We're in the road. I'm calling from a hotel, and maybe Joe's admin says, "Well, yeah, let me get that for you." So a lot of times people can be preyed on in very low tech sorts of ways that enable some of these kinds of exploits to be successful. Malware can come in through phishing, and I'm sure Dallas covered a lot of this stuff. But you know, a lot of the phishing links, getting you to, you know, I know I even get them over in Facebook of, hey, I found these pictures of you on the internet, right? Well, who isn't going to want to be like, you found what of me on the internet?
Yeah, you don't even think, you just click.
And right, like you have a sense of panic, like there shouldn't be anything. And that's where some of these sophisticated social engineering schemes can really, really be effective. But it just takes conditioning then of, you know, getting businesses and employees to be extra careful, to have businesses being aware of, you know, what are best practices on permissions, especially small businesses. Mm-hmm. Sometimes their perception is, I don't have a lot of depth on my bench, and so I just need everybody to be able to get into whatever we have. Because what happens if I have a heart attack on the farm? You know, maybe that's the co-op manager, for example. What if I have a heart attack on the farm? I don't want anything stranded. Well, having ubiquitous permissions in your system would probably not be considered best practices in terms of having sound permissions assigned. I know none of us love it, but password strength, you know, doing things like securing your router. I know people in small towns who are like, who would want to get in my router? Because they think the people that they see in their community are the people who know about them. But in cyberspace and on the internet, there are no boundaries. There are no town boundaries. Like anything that's open is open for business. And so really having people understand the scope of their exposure, and doing very simple things at times, but to be more soundly secured against some of those. A lot of exploits are just time and place opportunity. And so if you don't present the opportunity, you've gone a long way into improving your standing.
If you get a call about your car's extended warranty and you don't have an extended warranty on your car, that's probably a phishing.
Yeah.
Right.
Every day. So it is. It's a great opportunity. It's the right thing. It's we know that these kinds of exploits have ramped up exponentially post-COVID. People who like to do these sorts of things, their business is booming because a lot of us went home to work, or we took our businesses into the cloud, or any number of sorts of things that COVID drove us to do. So really doing this now is very, very timely, because we're certainly seeing a lot more of that. And when I talk about you know, venture creation and helping the Kansas economy, there certainly are those direct measures, like we created 4 businesses, or we created 10 new jobs that are high tech and remote, right? Like, you know, you can live in Western Kansas and help businesses anywhere in Kansas, or whatever that looks like. But really understanding that there's an element of asset preservation here that is equally important. You know, for a small business, the average cost for ransomware to a business is about $117,000 per event.
Wow.
And between 40 and 60% of all data breaches involve that small to medium business-sized business demographic. And so we know that upwards of 80% of Kansas small business, if met with a ransomware attack of about that dollar figure, they won't survive. And so, we really look at this as not just advancing new ventures and new job creation, but also working really hard in very practical and cost-effective and logical ways to preserve what we've got going. And I think that's also especially important for all those small businesses that came out on the other side of COVID still standing.
Absolutely. Well, before we run out of time, we got to get over to weather here in just a couple minutes. But what comes next? How does this continue on and grow?
Yeah. So for us, we are currently getting our first cohort of students to go out and do the micro internships for the small businesses. We'll start that in January. We've got about 15 solid pilot projects. As we do this, we have a lot of things we have to develop, like non-disclosure agreements. Like if I'm going to put a student in your business, I need to be able to give you the assurance that that student isn't going to disclose stuff.
And especially in their cybersecurity, I imagine that's super important.
Right. And so there's a lot of infrastructure that has to be laid for us to be able to do this and make sure that everybody feels comfortable and that there's trust established. And so we'll launch our first cohort of micro internships in the spring, and then we're going to be hiring a director. That person will run, market, operate the venture process, all of that. And so we'll be hiring. The city will be hiring, and we'll hopefully get those searches started shortly. But we're really pretty excited about the possibilities here. We think that there's going to be, of course, a lot that we learn through the iterative processes. We were just joking yesterday with President Mason that there's no manual here. We're writing it. But that's also very exciting to be able to possibly get a model for something like this that then we can also use to, help other rural areas that face the same challenges as that we are trying to solve.
Well, and I think on the university level too, Fort Hays, we've talked, Scott, with Dr. Mason numerous times about the tech programs and especially how COVID, Fort Hays really kind of led the charge and was able to share that information. And I think about programs like informatics, just in general, the program kind of, I don't know the history of the program, but it's been around for a little while. It was so innovative when it came up and it continues to be so. And Fort Hays just seems to be so good at capturing those upcoming and soon to be very important skill sets and jobs out there. And I think this is going to fit into that mission perfectly.
Yeah. Well, and this also fits very, I'm very proud of our faculty, and I'm very proud of just that ethic of forward looking all the time. That we try very hard not to get stale. We maintain relevance. Students are very savvy about value, and so we cannot keep them if we are not relevant. And the value we add often is these kinds of experiences. Sure, you can do an online boot camp, and I'm not downgrading any of those, but you don't get the oversight of a Jason Zeller. You don't get Jason saying, so that was a good way to do that, but you could have done it these other ways too. So that value add, that mentoring that comes from faculty, that, being able to go out and do experiential learning with the safety net and guidance and insight of an expert, I feel like is all of what we do very, very well. And so we're just building on top of a good foundation.